Welcome back. For those of you joining just now, I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Calls One Planet series. We're podcasting our show, and if you have a show idea for us, you can drop us a line at yourcall@kalw.org or call us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. And now we're going to turn our attention to one of Trump's recent executive orders. There's been a whole flurry of them, but this most recent one we're going to discuss now is targeting state and local climate change law and policies, including singling out California's landmark cap and trade program. So to take a close look at what this means for California and other states who are trying to address the climate crisis, to hold oil and gas and other polluting industries accountable, we are pleased to be joined once again by Ken Alex. He's the director of Project Climate at UC Berkeley's Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment, where he is my colleague there. And so pleased to have him back on. He also spent 8 years as senior policy advisor to former California Governor Jerry Brown. Ken also served as director of the Governor's Office of Planning and Research and chair of the Strategic Growth Council here in California, focusing on climate, environment, and land use issues. Good to have you back with us, Ken.
Thanks for having me back, Ethan. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So April 8th, Trump signed this executive order targeting state-level climate policies. It directs U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi to identify state and local actions that may be unconstitutional or preempted by federal law, and the Attorney General is supposed to report back within 60 days on findings, recommendations for action. It singles out California's cap and trade program. As I mentioned, there's a lot there. So Ken, can you just help us unpack this executive order? What's your summary and what are some of the key points you think are important to take away?
Yeah, I actually think there's less here than you might think. I think Governor Newsom called it a press release, and I think that's probably about right. Basically, what it's saying is we're interested in oil and gas and nuclear, and anybody who is working on climate change, particularly state governments, we're going to evaluate whether those state government actions somehow violate federal law. But there's very straightforward sets of rules about when federal law preempts state law. And I think the examples in the executive order, which focus on New York, Vermont, and California in particular, are pretty clearly within the rights of the states to pursue. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about what it means to have a federalist system, which the United States has, that gives states significant authority to do their own laws. And so this order is an attempt really just to try to undermine climate change action, probably an attempt to intimidate states. But frankly, there's not much substance here. I want to read one little portion here that kind of underscores what they're after. The very beginning of it says purpose. My administration is committed to unleashing American energy, et cetera, particularly oil, natural gas, coal, hydropower, geothermal, biofuel, critical mineral, and nuclear energy resources. Ironically, the sources of energy that are most likely to create independent energy for the United States are solar and wind. And those are the two forms of energy that this is an attack on. Anyway, I don't think there's a lot here, and we can get into some of the details as to what it means to have a federal system where states have very extensive authority to make their own laws.
So your read, as you just said, is maybe not a lot there that the federal government can do. And as I mentioned, there's going to be a report back from the U.S. Attorney General. I mean, is a report, you think, going to just say that there's really no legal pathway here? It feels like that's not really stopped them in the past. And particularly if they're going to be claiming national security, this seems to be the common theme now. You know, so much can be justified under a national security threat. I mean, how creative might they try to get, and what would the end game be for them?
Well, let's back up one step and talk. Let me talk for a minute about how our constitutional system is set up between the federal government and states. And then I can try to answer your question. So in our system, the way the Constitution is written, it says basically anything not explicitly federal is left to the states. And what that does is to create a very significant distinction between federal law and state law. So if the federal law doesn't exist, then state law can cover every other issue that federal law does not. And in the environmental realm, it's actually even more explicit in the environmental laws themselves, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, hazardous waste laws. Almost all of them are set up so that the federal law sets a bare minimum, and then states can choose to have more extensive environmental laws. There are, as usual in law, there are exceptions to that. There are places where federal law is exclusive. And the way our Constitution is set up, and court cases have been very explicit about this, federal law to preempt state law, that's the legal term, is to preempt, the federal law has to explicitly preempt, or it has to completely take over the entire field. So the most obvious example is under the Federal Clean Air Act, states other than California do not have the authority to set standards for emissions from motor vehicles. That's explicitly in the Clean Air Act. But other parts of the Clean Air Act, various forms of pollutants, states have authority to have stricter laws. So when the Attorney General of the United States spends her next 60 days looking over state laws, and some of which are mentioned in this order, including, as you noted, California's cap and trade law, they're going to find that there is very clear authority for the state. The states have acted well within their authority. The lawyers and the drafters of those state laws are quite aware of the federal system and what extent that the state laws can have. And I think that the Attorney General, if she's being honest, will find that state laws are absolutely legitimate. Whether that will be the finding or not, we'll see. There's always ways to make arguments in the law that federal law may in some form preempt state law. But I think if they're being honest, they're not going to make that determination.
We're speaking with Ken Alex, Director of Project Climate at UC Berkeley Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment. Ken also spent 8 years as Senior Policy Advisor to Governor Jerry Brown, and before that was the head of the Environmental Section of the California Attorney General's Office. This is Your Calls One Planet series. I'm Ethan Elkind, and if you have questions for Ken about Trump's executive order targeting state and local climate policies and what the future might be for state-level climate action, the number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also email any questions you might have to yourcall@kalw.org. Well, Ken, let me ask you, why do you think that Trump singled out cap and trade specifically? And maybe can you talk a bit about the cap and trade system for listeners not familiar with it?
Yes. So the focus of this order is climate change. And every time the order says climate change, it puts climate change in quotes as if climate change was fake. So one of the most effective laws on the books is California's cap and trade law. The cap and trade law in California is pretty straightforward. For certain industries, for example, oil, refining of oil, there is an emission allowance for a refinery. And that refinery is allowed to emit certain amount of greenhouse gases for the year. And if it exceeds that amount, it has to figure out a way to offset those emissions. And over time, each year, the amount of emissions that are allowed from that refinery is reduced. That's the cap. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes called a declining cap. And as I say, if the refinery, for example, exceeds that amount, it can go and buy what are called offsets from companies and from other entities that have actually figured out ways to reduce emissions below whatever their requirements might be. And then the refinery can buy those offsets. That's the trading part. And this creates a market. And that market actually generates money for a fund that also then pays for additional actions on climate change. Well, that's turned out to be fairly effective. There are people who are critical of it, but, you know, big surprise, there's always criticisms of everything. But it's been pretty effective, and it's reduced emissions in industries in California. It's generated some funds to take some further actions to reduce climate change impacts. And so, not surprisingly, that's a target of this particular order, in no small part because it impacts the oil and gas industry.
I suppose it's a sign of success then that maybe California, for those who care about climate action, should be glad to see, be singled out in an executive order, because it seems to be maybe actually making an impact, at least on fossil fuel companies' bottom lines. Well, Ken, we do have an email question. Mark in Marin County asks, is Trump just trying to keep states busy in court? I mean, this seems to be the end game here, right? Flood the zone. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I basically agree with that. I think part of the strategy here is to spin everybody's wheels, get everybody upset. Oh, he's attacking, he's saying things about climate change. He's attacking state laws. And particularly should be noted, New York, Vermont, and California are not unusual targets for the Trump administration. So I think the listener is definitely on to something. It's yet another effort to kind of say, oh, look over here, we're doing something to upset everybody and take everybody's time away from issues that may be more more important, or right now with all the trade and tariff upheaval, take it away from looking at the economy and the impacts that it's having on the economy.
Well, given Trump's just kind of full-scale assault on all things environmental protection and climate, and now singling out states in particular, what do you want to see states do in response? What should a state like California do in response to what we're seeing at the federal level?
Well, the state of California, I think, is doing quite a lot. I think we've seen already the Attorney General's office has filed a dozen suits against the Trump administration. The last Trump administration had filed over 100. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see that again. But the most important thing by far, in my view, is to stay the course. California has some of the most extensive climate change laws and actions and commitments of any state in the country. And there are other states that are doing quite a lot as well. But the most important thing, particularly given the the reality of climate change, is for California to stay the course, to keep doing what it's doing, to maintain its cap and trade program, to move forcefully on all the other aspects of its climate program, which are quite extensive, and then to work with other states, to work with subnational governments in the United States, to work with them overseas as well. That's what happened in the first Trump administration, and I think we're seeing it repeated now. But hopefully California, New York, Vermont, and other states can work together to really do even more in the absence of federal government leadership.
And Ken, you've been pretty clear that you don't see a real strong legal basis for the Trump administration really being able to override or invalidate in any way these state level climate programs. But what do you think might be at risk here? What sort of keeps you up at night about state level climate policies that may be at risk under the Trump administration version two here?
Well, what you noted is very true, which is just because there's not a great legal case doesn't mean that the Attorney General won't try to file an action. It's always possible to file legal action, to pursue claims that may not go very far, but cause states to have to respond, use up time, energy, money. And then I think what we've seen as a real sort of focus of the Trump administration is to threaten states with withholding funding. And that's a problem. California gets hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars anyway, from the federal government on extremely important projects and efforts. And I think we'll see threats to withhold that funding. And that certainly gives me great pause.
And Ken, I also have to ask you about all these layoffs and further announcements about more layoffs coming to really important agencies like the Department of Energy, like the Environmental Protection Agency at the federal level. What kind of effect do you think that might have on California and then other states as well?
Yeah, and you didn't mention NOAA and the National Weather Center and NASA, and removing all kinds of climate relevant data that not only the United States, but the rest of the world relies on. It's a serious problem and a serious issue. States like California and various non-governmental organizations are trying to capture data and to fill some of that gap, but it's a very serious issue. We need the data, we need people working on research, we need the funding, we need the government, federal government, to be in a leadership position, not basically doing the bidding of oil, gas and coal companies. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, the gutting of the federal government, both of the employees and of its budget, is going to have a very negative impact on California and the rest of the country and really the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think something like this particular executive order is an effort to take away sort of people's attention from what's really going on.
Yeah. Well, Ken, really appreciate you coming on and explaining what's happening. It's an onslaught of information, but great to have you on and unpacking it for us. Ken Alex, Director of Project Climate at UC Berkeley Law School's Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ethan.
And that's our show. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, you can visit yourcallradio.org. You can also find us on iTunes, and we always appreciate a review there. Email any show ideas and feedback you have to yourcall@kalw.org. Malihei Razazan produced today's show. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind. It's Your Call.